I would like you to take God's word, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this evening. And I'm thankful we serve a wonderful Savior this evening. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want us to begin looking in the first verse of this chapter. And as you find your place in God's word and we prepare to read this passage together, I want to say what a joy to be a part of our church. And what a joy to see God's handiwork in our midst. And it never gets old, God working in our midst for His glory. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul is writing by inspiration of God's Spirit in a corrective tone to the church at Corinth. He says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, how are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." Paul addresses the church at Corinth here because they are in the courts of law before unbelievers, suing one another over disputes that they have. And Paul, in his gracious apostolic pastoral tone, asks the question, "Is there not any wise man among you? You're going to judge the world to come. You're going to judge angels. Can you not judge in the smallest matters that pertain to this life?" Now, this is merely the introduction to where we're going to go in the message. But I believe an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of gain. If you ever have the guts to do a business deal between yourselves, just be ready if it goes bad to be a Christian. How many of y'all with me? Just be ready to be a Christian. And don't ever expect me to applaud you if you're trying to sue another brother or sister in Christ. It'll never glorify God in heaven. Amen? Well, they were in devious behavior, acting as if they didn't know better and wasn't in the know. Paul is correcting them, and then he makes a transition. He says to them, verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, notice the comparison. We are a part of God's kingdom. We know that we're going to heaven. We have eternal life. But here's brother and brother in courts of law before unbelievers who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And so he reminds us of who is not going to be in heaven and who is not
represented by the church here and now? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That word inherit means to possess. They will not enter into the kingdom of God. Not in heaven and not now among the church. They are unrighteous, they're unbelievers, and we should not be having our disputes before them. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Be not deceived. That phrase means do not allow yourself to be convinced of error. Don't convince yourself or allow yourself to be convinced of error. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He gives them this list of sin and humanity partaking in sin, and he reminds them that none of these unrighteous unbelievers will inherit or go into the kingdom of God. Now we live in a time where a lot of people profess Christ and Christianity and simultaneously care less about the testimony of Christ and Christianity. Listen, who you are is not who you were. If tonight you are a believer, Jesus said, let the words ring fresh and true. Matthew 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I remind you that what Paul lists here teaches us that those people that are in these sins, that are unrighteous and are unbelievers, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you shouldn't deceive yourself into believing that they will. How many are with me? Look what he says. Verse number 11. After he lists off fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers themselves of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Verse number 11. Notice what he says. And such were some of you. You were drunkards. You were idolaters. You were guilty of being an abuser of yourself with mankind. But that's not who you are. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Would you write this down, those of you that are taking notes? This is the phrase tonight. This is the title. And such were some of you. Paul takes this opportunity of correcting the Corinth church to remind them about God's grace that invaded their space and made them a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said, you were, some of you were in those categories, but you know longer are in those categories. He reminds them of several incredible aspects of God's grace am the gospel of God's grace. Verses 9 through 11, he reminds them about the reach of God's grace. And I believe tonight you and I need to be reminded of the reach of God's grace. He says to the church at Corinth that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he draws from verse number 11 and he says, and such were some of you. In other words, inside the church at Corinth, there were those who were previously homosexual, but now they are heterosexual because they have met the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds them that previous to and a life before him, that there were some among the Corinthian church that was known as a drunkard. But since they met Christ, they've switched fountains that's never run dry, and they've never went back to the bottle. And so he goes down and he reminds them that such were some of you. Not all. I myself never was a drunkard. I myself never was effeminate. Praise God. Somebody say Jesus right there. I myself never was a homosexual, but nevertheless, I know that God's grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ can reach to the lowest hell and can reach to the most depraved sinner, to the most darkened heart, that there's no sinner lies outside the reach of God's grace. And here Paul is trying to get this church corrected on how they're going to battle between themselves in a court of law, and he reminds them because of their faith in Christ, they are not what they were, and he reminds them of the reach of God's grace and the reach of God's gospel. The song catches it well when it says, my Savior reached way down for me when he lifted me, when he saved me. Tonight, we need to know there's not a corridor of our community that the grace of God cannot invade, and the grace of God cannot make a difference. The grace of God can change any human heart that it comes in contact to. That is the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened. That means made alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And such were some of you. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I'm glad when it comes to a believer's life, there's a past, but there's also a present. There's who we were, and it's who we are now. We're reminded of the reach of the gospel and the reach of God's grace. There's no sinner lies beyond the reach of God's grace. His grace was shed abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded there's the reach of the gospel and the reach of God's grace when it comes to shaping the heart of a sinner lost without God. We sit in our churches, we've been saved so long, we can forget the power of God's gospel. I had a call years ago. A man was wanting me to come march against homosexuality. And I didn't know much, but I knew the gospel.
And I thought, you ain't going to help them people by holding up a God hates homosexual sign and talking about that lifestyle. I said, sir, I will not be meeting at the courthouse in the county this week. Won't be there. Well, why not? I said, well, first of all, I got to work. Secondly, I believe God in heaven could save some of those people. He began to tell me how they were reprobate, could never be saved. I said, I apologize. I just heard the testimony of a homosexual last week that was born again by the grace of God. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. I wouldn't fit in with your march. I just want to remind you right now, our society is absolutely sinful and our culture is absolutely corrupt. And I understand that sinners are sinners and the darkness is exceeding dark right now. But when we mount up with wings as eagles as a church and we prepare to send and share the glorious gospel of Christ in our community, I want to remind you that there is no drunk in our neighborhood. There is no drunk in our county. There is no drug addict in our county. There is no person that's abusing his wife in our county that lies beyond the reach of God's grace and God's gospel. Tonight, we need to be reminded that some of us was in a camp that was unseemly and unpleasant, but the grace of God came to where we were. God reached down, snatched us out of hell, snatched us out of sin, and we better be believing God can do it again with somebody else. You know what will really change your outlook, your uplook, and your inlook? If you'll start looking at people like you look at yourself, a candidate for God to redeem. You say, I know God can save me. No, if he can save you, he can save anybody. He can save me, he can save anyone. The reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reach of God's grace. Not only do we see the reach of God's grace, but we see also the release of God's grace. Verse number 11. And such, notice the next word. What's that next word? Were some of you. Were. Who we are is not who we were. And our old identity does not assert our new identity. And our old life is not greater than our new life. And our old vices is not greater than our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider our new name. Our name is Christian. You could have been known as a drug dealer, but now you're known as a child of God. You could have been known as a rebel rouser, but now you're known as a child of God. You could have been known as somebody who did not give a rip about God, the gospel, church, heaven, or hell, but now you can be known as somebody who's in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the reach of the gospel. Think about the release of the gospel. Consider our new name. Our identity is found in the name Christian this evening. Amen. Consider our new nature. Our new nature is heavenly. Our new nature is spiritually. We studied and learned about the nuances of our past vices. Have we given as much time and energy in studying our present victory in Christ? I'm telling you, who we were is not who we are. Christ identifies us who we are. We're no longer in the sin that God has brought us from. We are now the children of God. We are now the children of light. And just like God has made us his children, he can make others like us his children. Now here's the thing. I'm thankful for every saint of God. And when I entered the pastoral ministry, my burden was bringing God's people to a deeper, fuller, clearer walk with God. Amen. My initial burden entering in the ministry was I had been in church my whole life. And then I picked up a Bible. One of y'all got that. And I found out the majority of what was in church wasn't in the Bible. You say, we got it all figured out. No, you don't. No, you don't. I found out the majority of what was in the scripture wasn't in our lives. And then I found out the majority of the people that was in our churches didn't know about the majority of what was in the scripture, and that's why it wasn't in our lives. And my heart burned and my heart ached because I thought, here we are, the children of God, and we're living so far below what God desires of our lives. We live so far below of what God in heaven is capable of doing. And friend, tonight, I'm not trying to figure out how much sin I can get away with in my Christian life. I'm trying to figure out how much sin I can get away from in my Christian life, not because I'm a legalist, but because there was a day when the Son set me free from the vices of my sin. I tasted the victory of God's grace and the victory of God's love and the victory of God's power, and I'm glad who I was is not who I am. Who I am is a child of God, amen? Thank God. And I want to see that replicated over and over. I have two great motivators when it comes to trying to see other people come to faith in Christ. One, my Savior died on a cross. For the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. That if He died for all, then you and I have an incentive, a motivation to share with others His undying love. How many are with me? Here's my second motivation. I love seeing people who don't have it get it. And people who do have it get with it. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, listen. Do you know how powerful it is of a testimony? When God in heaven takes people that are out and out contrary to God, and then He saves them, changes their life, it is a huge testimony to the power of God's gospel. You know what else is a huge testimony? Those who've already experienced it, willing to go to those who have not experienced it, and tell them how they can experience the saving power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many of y'all with me? I never want to lose my burden. I never want to lose my fire. I only want to grow in my burden and grow in my fire to see those who were become what He wants them to be. Amen. And we might need a gentle reminder in our crazy, corrupt society that those people that just absolutely make us want to stand on our head and scream don't lie beyond the reach of God's grace. Somebody say amen. You say, they make me feel uncomfortable. And if they ever meet God, they're going to feel uncomfortable. That sin they're so proud of and they're justifying, you let a thrice holy God settle in on their heart, things may change real quick. It's called conviction. They'll learn that they're lost and undone without God and His Son. Somebody say amen right there. The reach of God's gospel. The release of God's grace. He releases us from our old life. Oftentimes people will look at us. Listen carefully now. This will be good learning. They'll look at us and they'll say, well, y'all are one of them, I've heard this phrase, hard, your pastor's a hard shell Baptist. You know, in the Bible, there's three grades of Baptist. Shell, medium shell, and hard shell. You'll find that in the book of American Christianity. Somebody say amen. We might as well have fun. Listen, just because I have a desire to be everything unlike I was before I was living for God doesn't mean I'm a legalist. It means I know where God got me, where God brought me from, and where I don't want to go back to.
Amen.
Call it common sense, call it grace, call it being scared enough of yourself. You don't want to trust yourself with yourself. Yes. Somebody say amen. Call it whatever you want to. But all I know is this, what I was, I am not any longer. And who I am is wrapped up in the name that's above every name, Jesus Christ. And you know what we believe?
We believe that God is able to replicate that in anybody else's life. I don't believe I'm special. I don't believe you're special outside and apart of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe we're like the rest of humanity, that we were candidates for God's grace because we were sinners without God. And the moment that Christ saved us, He proved He can save anybody just like He saved you by His grace and endless life. Amen. The reach of God's grace and gospel, the release of God's grace and gospel. Finally, and lastly, the results of God's grace and gospel in our lives. Listen to what he says, verse 11, and such were some of you. You used to be. But ye are what? You can't be what you were if you're washed. I have dirty clothes at the house. They look soiled and they smell soiled. But when they meet tide, well, in our house, gain. That tide's first class living, somebody say that. They come out looking different. They come out smelling different. They come out wearing different. Washed, crude expression, you say? I tell you right now, Paul, by inspiration of God's Spirit, gives a heinous list of sinful acts toward God and man. And he said to the church at Corinth, some of you were like this, but you're washed. That word washed means that you've been made pure. Proverbs 29, the proverb says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? What a great question. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from sin? Well, I believe we find the answer in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, who can say that I've made my heart clean, that I'm free from sin? Those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Who I am is not who I was, because I have been washed in the blood of Jesus. You're washed. Not only are you washed, but you're sanctified. I've heard that word used negatively in churches that should know it's a good word. It's God's word. The word sanctified means set apart through cleansing on a continual and progressive basis. That means you've been washed in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God. But as you are washed, you are being cleansed continually as you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. The work of God is the Word of God sanctifying us. John 17, 17, sanctify them through truth. Thy Word is truth. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You see, we are washed and we're sanctified. We are vessels meet for the master's use. Amen. He said, you're washed. He says, you're sanctified. And then he says, you're justified. The word justified means our sins are pardoned and we're accepted by God on the merits of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul writes, he's writing to correct a problem in Corinth. Brother is going against brother before an unbeliever in a court of law and suing. Paul said, y'all are behaving like what you were instead of who you are. And you need to start behaving like who you are instead of who you were.
And who you are is washed. And who you are is sanctified. And who you are is justified. And what you were, you are not. So that you can make a difference among those who are like you were. How many of y'all with me? Our church is making preparation for our fall outreach campaign. You say, oh, we ain't going to make a difference. Oh, we're going to make a difference. Because we're not going to sit back and let the Mormons and the false witnesses have our county. All God's people said.
Amen.
You might as well pray for a little bit of unction right there, somebody say amen. We ain't going to sit back, fuss, cuss, gripe, and complain about them sowing lies and deceit and damnable heresies and huddle up in our little holy huddles on Sunday and talk about how we got it all figured out and not share it with anybody. All God's people said.
Amen.
You said, well, Justin, you're talking like we're going to be called to action. We are called to action. Amen. We are called to be reminded. We're not like we were. And we're not who we were. Who we are is washed, sanctified, justified. We're not to behave like we did. Because we're not who we were. We have a new name. We have a new nature. And we are to make a difference with the light of the glorious gospel. Listen, us carrying on like the rest of the unregenerate, unrighteous, unbelieving world isn't helping us make a difference in the unrighteous, unregenerate, unbelieving world. Do you agree? I know this might be old-fashioned, but I still believe that we are a distinct people with a distinct purpose. Serving a distinct person. And we represent the God of glory. We represent the God of glory amongst ourselves. And we represent the God of glory outside these walls.
Amen.
Among everybody we're among. Such were some of you. Some of you were raised in church. Do you know why you were raised in church? Because your parents, who wasn't raised in church, met the Lord Jesus, was in that category of son, but now they're washed, they're sanctified, they're justified. Let's hit rewind just for a moment, and let's let the Lord stretch our hearts for His glory. There was a brush arbor here, I believe, back in 44. I don't know who the original people were. Do you, Miss John? Just any name? Sam, he was there. Sally, she was there. But listen, all joking aside, there was a brush arbor. And there's a handful of people got together with a distinct purpose to worship the Lord, to walk with the Lord, and to work for the Lord. There was a day, there was a day when Harold Howell wasn't at this church. There was a day when the McDowells wasn't at this church. There was a day when the Bramblets were not at this church. Y'all ain't gonna believe this, but there was probably even a day when Steve Holsenbach wasn't at this church. If I could give Miss Pam the mic, I could let her tell you how she come to this church. She was picked up and brought here. Why? Because somebody who was, met Christ, was no longer, and wanted to share it with somebody else.
Amen.
Now listen, this ain't rocket science. I don't even have to have a doctorate's degree in know-how to tell you how we can make a difference to the world around us. Act like the one who lives inside of us. Remember where we were before we met Him, and have a heart for those who don't know Him. And be reminded we haven't always been sitting on our padded pew. And just know If God can get us, He can use us to get them. Let's go get them, because such were some of you. And if you never were, won't you just go ahead and thank God for that grace too? You know, there for a while I struggled with the fact that I didn't have some grand, illustrious testimony. Like I couldn't tell people how deep in sin I had ever went, how horrible my life was, so I thought I was only like half saved, you know. We're slow people. We're slow. Somewhere along the line, God in heaven said to me, what do you think takes as much grace or less grace? Am I less your Savior because I saved you when you were young and kept you from a lot of those things? Or am I more their Savior because I saved them when they were in the midst of those things? No! It's the same great God and great grace who is rich unto all. And so if God got you before you ever got into all that mess, praise God for His reach of grace in your life. And the last time I checked, I believe my dad's here, and my dad can tell you his testimony. He was saved as an alcoholic, and I can guarantee he prayed that I would never be an alcoholic. And I can guarantee you one thing. I don't have wings and halos to don, but I can tell you I've never been an alcoholic, because God saved my daddy who was a drunkard, and God's grace filtered down into my life. God's grace reached into my family, and here I am tonight shouting His praises, telling you of His grace that is great and wonderful, and reminding you we can't sit on it. We got to share it and be reminded God can save anybody no matter how lost they are. I want us to operate with that conviction. You say, well, Brother Justin, they're messed up. He can fix up a lot of mess up. You say, well, they're pretty bent. They're pretty twisted. God can make them straight. Somebody say amen. That's why I'm so careful to lead our church to not try to pattern the life you left, but to pattern the Lord you're following. Somebody say amen. You say, Brother Justin, we walked in tonight and we felt like we wasn't walking into a bar. That's on purpose. That's on purpose. You say, yeah, but that didn't give us the same feeling. That's on purpose. Somebody say amen. That wasn't an accident. Why? Because our culture is not their culture. Our atmosphere is not their atmosphere. How we are is not how we were. And who we are is not who we were. That doesn't lift us up. That humbles us and reminds us that we got to go back to where we were to try to reach others, bring them to who we are, bring them to where we are. Listen, this is the church of the living God. Such were some of you, but you're not who you were. You're not how you were. You're in Christ. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. Let's live like it. Somebody say amen. We're not arguing about what sin we can get away with. We're worrying about what sin we can get away from. Somebody say amen. How close to the world can we live? What about how close to the Lord we can live? You say, yep, we knew it. You was one of them hard shell Baptists. No, I found myself right over there in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm a medium shell. No, I'm just kidding. We come up with the silliest stuff. Paul said, such were some of you. Now, Corinth, you as carnal as a church can be and still be called a church. Carnal. But don't be deceived. Unrighteous, unbelievers will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you were, some of you were unrighteous, unbelievers. Look where you are now. But you're back over there in their courts acting like them. You were like that. But is there not one wise man among you? Couldn't you imagine if I gave Paul the pulpit for 1 week? You say, yeah, we'd have revival. Oh, we'd have something. I don't know if it'd be revival. Yeah, yeah. I'd be trying to figure out. Oh, thanks for saying it. I'd be I'd be trying to figure out if I've ever even pastored before, amen, because I'd be trying to go get everybody to come back. No, he didn't really mean that way. You took that wrong, somebody said. How many of y'all with me? Oh, my soul. Such were some of you, the reach of God's grace and gospel. The release were. Aren't you glad you're not what you were? I am. Ye are washed, sanctified, justified. That's who we were. That's how we are. This is who we are. We're washed, sanctified, justified. And we have a burden for everyone and anyone that is corrupted by our culture, sin. And we want them to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have two outreaches set aside. I'm going to ask you, as someone who was but is no longer, to sign up. You mean put your name on the roll? Yes, and we'll call your name and we'll see if you're present when we call it. When the roll is called in yonder, will you be there? Somebody say amen. Sign up. Get ready. Let's make a difference. Let's believe that there's someone out there that believes they're outside the reach of God's grace. But we know better. Let's go with them in the light of the glorious gospel. I read these words fresh again tonight before I came. I vividly remember you going out to outreach multiple times a week, starting to go off and preach revivals and leading people to the Lord weekly. I read those words, a letter written to me, and I said to myself, God, don't let my fire for you wane in this hour. It should be in the heart of every person that calls themselves a Christian. Brother David White, you with me up there? It should be in the heart of every person that's a member of our church that what God is doing here is too good just for you. Every one of you should want everybody in our county to experience what we experienced this morning. And every one of you should want to experience it more often. God working, having His way. Did we not just talk about that Wednesday night? God working, moving, bringing people to Himself beyond any one of us. I believe every one of us with a right heart and a right mind should want everybody around us to experience that very same thing. Amen. Do you agree? Because friends, it don't get any gooder. Yes, I know how to speak properly. It doesn't get any better until we are in the presence of God. And when I say that, let me qualify. The Lord's presence is what makes everything what it is. That can't be improved on. And His presence should be what we desire everyone to know, just like we know it. Let's pray. Father, thank You that as we read Your word tonight, we can see the reach of Your grace and gospel. I want to have faith to believe that there's no one lies outside Your reach and the reach of Your grace greater than our sin. Thank You, Lord, for the testimony of many in our church whose lives have been transformed by Your grace and gospel. Thank You for so many that You got before they ever went down any of those paths or road, and You've kept them by Your grace for Your glory. Thank You for this church. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for your presence in our midst, for your headship, lordship, and for your leadership. God, I pray that you would be stirring in all of our hearts. And I must ask you to stir, especially in mine, that we would want to behave like we believe, not as we were, but as we are, and that we would want others, Lord, to come to faith in you. We love you. We want to love you more. We thank you and you praise you for your goodness and grace. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.